Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John. The context of this is Jesus' final instructions to his disciples before he is betrayed and handed over to be arrested before he went to the cross. So this is a portion of chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. The interesting thing about this portion of scripture is that this is Jesus' prayer to God the Father in heaven, and it's not addressed to the disciples. So the previous three chapters before this, Jesus has a lot of instructions for his disciples, including the great commandment to love one another as I have loved you. And then Jesus prays for his disciples. Beginning in verse 20 of chapter 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So, meaning us here today. Verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and you will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the receiving of the word for us today. The Gospel of John has a lot of phrases that circle back on one another. This reading might take a little bit for it to sink in. What Jesus is saying here is that the unity that you and I showed, in other words, Father and Son, Jesus and God in heaven, may that unity be reflected in my followers and the ones that come after that in the message that they have been given. He's asking that the ones that God has given to Jesus as his followers, that they might be united once again in heaven. So it brings us to our message today. This is the first part of a series of messages about the United Church of Christ, or coming out of the United Church of Christ message and history. There's often sort of a disconnect, and this isn't anyone's fault, but there's often a disconnect between what is going on in the national United Church of Christ and the local church, something that could use some work. We have a rich, rich history, and so part of this message will be part education, part review, hopefully from confirmation that I hope that you remember. Now, in 1957, the UCC came into existence. This church, that was an evangelical and reformed church, became a part of the United Church of Christ. The United Church of Christ is made up of four different pillars: the Christian Church, the Congregational Church, both of those churches combined in the 1930s, and the Evangelical Church and the Reformed Church, both of those two churches combined in the 1930s. And then some 20, 25 years later in 1957, they decided to come together as one. And this scripture that we heard, a portion of that, verse 21, specifically a phrase in there, was used as its motto: that they may be one. The words of Jesus to God, that they may be one. United Church of Christ was formed out of a movement of unity within the Protestant denominations at the time. It was an experiment that has existed now for over 50 years. Amen. These denominations are distinctly American churches. They came together in Cleveland, just up the road. I thought I would read the preamble to the basis of union that was written at the time. We, the regularly constituted representatives of the Congregational Christian Churches, that's one half, and the Evangelical and Reformed Church, that's the other half, moved by the conviction that we are united in spirit and purpose and are in agreement on the substance of the Christian faith and the essential character of the Christian life, affirming our devotion to one God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our membership in the Holy Catholic Church, which is greater than any single church, and then all of the churches together. The Holy Catholic meaning the universal church, not lowercase Catholic, not uppercase Catholic. Believing that denominations exist not for themselves, but as parts of that church, within which each denomination is to live and labor and, if need be, die, and confronting the divisions and hostilities of the world, and hearing with a deepened sense of responsibility the prayer of our Lord Jesus, that they all may be one. Verse 21 from the scripture we heard today. Do now declare ourselves to be one body, and do now set forth the following articles of agreement as the basis of our life, fellowship, witness, and proclamation of the gospel to all nations. The name of the church by this union shall be called the United Church of Christ. This name expresses a fact. It stands for the accomplished union of two church bodies, each of which has arisen from a similar union of two church bodies. It also expresses a hope that in time soon to come, by further union between this church and other church bodies, there shall arise a more inclusive, united church. They came up with an emblem, this beautiful emblem that we have here today in front of our altar. The symbol of the United Church of Christ comprises the crown on top of the cross, symbolizing that Jesus is the head of the church. The ancient symbol of the cross symbolizes the sovereignty of Christ, recalls the suffering of Christ. The orb that is beneath that is divided into three parts that you see. One that Jesus commanded us in Acts before he was ascended into heaven, that they should be witness, we should be witnesses in Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Three. The verse from Scripture reflects our historic commitment to the restoration of unity of the separated churches of Jesus Christ. The verse, again, being referred to is that they may all be one. Such a strong statement of unity in a world of division, in a world where many look on the Christian church and wonder, why is there so many different names of churches? What's the difference? Why did the Church of Christ divide and divide and divide? This is in regression to that. Something that I really believe in and something that I'd like to see more effort be put into in the 21st century. But, of course, unity is difficult. The title of the sermon for today, Unity, Liberty, Charity, is taken from a statement that is attributed to many different people. However, it's the real origin is by a man called Rupertus Melendus. And I don't know who this is, other than he is said to say this profound statement, one sentence. In essentials, unity. We're united in our essentials, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Three different things to consider when being the church. This is sort of a foundation idea of the United Church of Christ. Divisions in the church takes away from the message of the church. Those outside of the walls, those who look at the church, see the divisions and see the heartache and see the bickering and wonder what is special about the church when they can get arguments and division and bitterness anywhere else during their week. So, it's an immense responsibility to come together. And it's not something that we do naturally nowadays. We divide ourselves, and I've said this before, by all kinds of different things in society today. And we don't have much to do with one another, unfortunately. Even a generation ago, it could be said that people with different ideas and different ways of looking at the world could still sit down at one table and come to some sort of compromise or work together for something. So this is still countercultural unity. How do we manage conflict? How do we live together? Well, like many churches, we have often been allergic to conflict. We kind of ignore conflict. We've kind of swept it under the rug sometimes. But conflict, in and of itself, is not always a bad thing. Conflict can be something that can make us grow, something that could make us learn, something that could make us stronger. Unity does not mean the absence of conflict, which goes against what we would think, right? It's how we deal with the divisions and conflict that matter. This is Christ's prayer for us. One of Christ's last words before going to the cross, according to the Gospel of John, that we would be one, that we could meet together and pray and help each other and serve the world. Being united together helps our witness, to the world. Coming from a diversity of voices. So what is essential? What are we to be united about exactly in this little phrase of our phrase of ours, united in essentials? Well, belief in God, I think. Belief in the power of love, I think. Belief in Christ's message of forgiveness. Being that Christ is the head of the church, that Christ is God's ultimate example on this earth. The guidance of God's word as revealed through Scripture. Essentials. And it matters what we believe. It matters. Modern church research done by the Barna Group, you might have heard of that. They published many books in the last 10 to 20 years, the Barna Research Group. They emphasize the power of communicating the church's message in a society that has all kinds of messages out there. We have to work on our marketing better. What is it that we believe? It's important. People will ask that question if we would like other people other than who's not already here to might come in one day. What do these people believe? How do they practice their faith? How does it make a difference in their lives? They want to know these things. Why would they want to be a part of it? What is different from the rest of the world? Now, the UCC, in general, has been accused of being light on theology, sort of a big umbrella denomination where anything can happen, and a variety of beliefs are all sort of shared and equal. But in actuality, we do have a rich history of doctrine and theology and champions of faith throughout the last few centuries. The difference is that the UCC is known as a non-creedal church, where we do not force it upon people to have a list of different beliefs that they believe in and don't believe in. Some churches do. We do not. One of the things that attracted me to the United Church of Christ is this idea of liberty, which brings us to the second point for today in non-essentials liberty. Non-essentials. Conflict existed in the New Testament church from the very beginning. You can read all about it in all those letters of Paul and by others. There was a lot of things. They argued about circumcision and Greeks and what to eat and vegetarians. Should they include Greeks or not include Greeks? They worked it out. They worked it out. They determined that it is not essential who you are, where you were born, if you were a citizen of one country or another, if you were a woman or man. The New Testament actually encourages us to work out our faith ourselves individually with fear and trembling, it says. And the UCC is strong on educating ourselves about matters of faith and coming to a conclusion about matters of faith. This is why in our confirmation program, I want the kids to write an essay that says, "This is where I am in faith today. This is what I believe about the important things of faith. This is what it means to me." We are made stronger by these different points of view. It's not to say that the non-essentials are not important, that we have essentials that are important and non-essentials that are not so important. The non-essentials are still important. But what it says is that these sort of non-essentials, the parts where we disagree, do not have to keep us from being united. There's an old joke about the United Church of Christ that it could be called the untied Church of Christ, that we are not tied together, that there's little holding us together. And so we include these words called covenant relationship together between churches that call each other the United Church of Christ. And we meet together in associations and conferences, and we elect delegates from the local church to go to synod every 2 years. So, in essentials, unity, belief in God, belief in love, and belief in the wisdom of God's word. Non-essentials, the things that we might disagree about that should not keep us from meeting together. By the way, I enjoy meeting with people that have a different point of view. Some people don't. Some people like to meet together with people that where everyone's in all agreement. Have you ever been in a group of people where everyone's all in agreement? And it's kind of boring. To me, that would be boring if we all sort of agreed about what we should do, about the way we believe, and about the way we do things. That would be boring to me. It's a lot more interesting to come together and to say to each other, "My journey of faith is made stronger by you being here, by your perspective, by your journey of faith, by you sharing in your journey of faith. I have learned something, and I have been informed, and I now know more about God and how to get along in the body of Christ." So, in non-essentials, still unity. And then finally, in all things charity, what is the most important message of the Bible? What is it that we are promoting? It would have to be love, charity, love. This is what brings us together. We should view Scripture with the eyes of love. We should view each other with the eyes of love. We should view our society through an eye of compassion. Jesus' greatest commandment that we should love others as he has loved us, as we love ourselves. Our diversity does not mean that we treat people with a different perspective and a different idea with contempt. Yes, all of this takes time and patience. It takes a listening ear. There's a lot of different facets and levels to all of these things, but it can be done. It has been done, sometimes imperfectly, but with all good intentions in the United Church of Christ. There can be different ways of practicing our faith. There can be even different beliefs within the Christian church. Maybe even that could be the will of God. It could be that we do not have all the right answers, that I do not have all the right answers. And that is okay. We are making the effort to engage the mystery each and every time we walk through these doors and we meet with each other. Perhaps someday we will understand the differences in beliefs and why there is so many different churches with their own ways of doing things and their own ways of believing. Maybe it's cultural. Maybe that will be something that in heaven we could just wash away. And there wouldn't have to be names on our church doors. Love is the power that binds us. Love is the only thing that's powerful enough to bring us all here together, week after week. Looking out at all of you, what else could bring us together? What else do we have in common, individually, that could possibly bring this group of people together other than Christ? There is nothing other than love. Let this uniting movement continue. We have worked on this, the United Church of Christ has, by entering into full communion with the Presbyterian Church of the United States, the ELCA Lutheran Church, the Disciples of Christ. Now, what does this mean when we say full communion? That means that if one of their ministers came into this church here, that they could practice communion. It's one of our tenets, and vice versa. A Disciples of Christ pastor or Presbyterian pastor could serve at this church, and vice versa. We have much more in common than we have differences. It is true. What if we were all one church? What if we were the Christian Church of Galleon? We all bemoan the lack of numbers and dwindling reserves in our bank accounts. We have these grand buildings with overhead. What if we were to condense and consolidate what we would have together? Would be amazing, I think. Would give us hope. Would light a fire under us. This is not just our church. This is Christ Church. When Jesus prayed this prayer in chapter 17, he was handing the church over to God. The followers that he had accumulated, he was handing them to God and trusting God to lead them forward. When we are gone from this place, there will be others meeting here. This doesn't solely belong to us. This belongs to God ultimately. It belongs to God for a purpose. God has brought us together for a purpose, to witness to God's light, God's hope, the gospel of inclusion and forgiveness and love to the world. That's the point of being together. And it trumps everything else. What will we leave the next generation? Do we trust God with the church, just as Jesus did? Let us pray. Pray for the unity of the body of Christ among us, among Christians in general, here in Galleon and all over this country and the world, so that we may be witnesses to God's light. Amen.